Welcome to Knot Work Myth and Storytelling. This is the show where ancestral wisdom meets the modern imagination and our timeless connection to the land itself. Season 7, Episode 9, The Village Beyond the Dunes. I'm so glad to have you here with us on Knot Work today. I'm your host, Marisa Gowdy. This episode is a preview of the latest in our Touras series. These episodes, which are released every other week or so, are available in their entirety to our paid subscribers, the folks who support the work and the podcast over at the Myth Workers Hearth on Substack. I hope you'll begin here and then visit us over at mythworkers.com to subscribe and listen to the whole episode and all of the episodes in this ongoing series. It's the middle of the night. A wealthy woman sits alone, carding wool by the fire. We don't know why she works while the rest of the household sleeps. Maybe she's worried about her health or her finances. Maybe the crops have failed. Maybe it's just the old perimenopause. She just must be in her own sort of trance without an audiobook or a podcast for company. But then she's startled by a knock at the door. Open, open, I am the Witch of One Horn. Now, this is a world built on hospitality and the power of welcoming the stranger. So the woman opens the door. Of course she does. In comes a figure with a single horn growing from her forehead. She carries a pail of wool carders of her own. As Lady Wilde said, it's her version that I'm using for this retelling, the Witch of One Horn sat down by the fire in silence and began to card the wool with violent haste. Suddenly she paused and said aloud, "Where are the women? They delay too long." And just at that, another knock. Again, open, open. This time a woman with two horns and her own great spinning wheel walks through the door. Make way, she says. I am the Witch of Two Horns. And then she sits down and begins to spin as quick as lightning. And so it goes. One by one they come, each with one more horn on her head than the sister who came before. 12 uninvited women and more horns than you'd care to count fill the room. It said they were strange to hear and frightful to look upon, and they bewitched the woman of the house, the Bonanti. She fell into silence as they worked, all the while the women worked, singing together an ancient rhyme. Then one of them turned and called out in Irish, Eri Iduchasa Avan Agashberi Kishta, rise up, woman, and make us a cake. Somehow the Bonanti found herself obeying the uninvited guests, and somehow she couldn't find a pot in her own kitchen to carry water from the well she'd need to mix the cake. Take the sieve and fill it with water, commanded the first of the witches. So overcome by the strangeness of the night and an odd sense of helplessness in her own home, the woman of the house followed instructions. Only once outside her own door, she began to weep. And that's when the spirit of the well hears her and responds. It's impossible to say just who or what this spirit of the well is. A saint? A primordial nature spirit? Wisdom of the earth itself? All of these things at once? No matter, the spirit is here to help, and she invites the woman to call upon all the gifts of the land. Plaster the sieve with clay and moss, then fill it with my clear waters and do the woman's bidding. But before you return to your house, cry out 3 times. The mountain of the Fenian woman and the sky over it is all on fire. The well was wise. The ruse worked. When the witches heard this, they disbanded their impromptu weaver's circle and rushed away, shrieking and lamenting as they ran back to their endangered home on Slieve na Mann. Now, the spirit of the well knew that this story was not yet over and offers still more counsel. The Bonanti had to break the witch's enchantments in case they should return. So the woman of the house was to take the foot water, that which had been used to bathe the children's feet and had not been tossed out the door at bedtime as was proper custom, and she was meant to scatter it beyond the doorstep. And then she had to find the cake the witches had baked in her absence, break it up, and push it between the lips of her sleeping family. It was only then that the beleaguered Bonanti realized that while she was supposed to be collecting water with a sieve, the witches had made their own cake and mixed it with the blood of her sleeping family. There was no time to linger on the horror of what had nearly happened, what had actually happened while she was out weeping by the well, because there were two more tasks to complete. The spirit of the well told her to take the cloth the witches had woven and place it half in and half out of the chest that was secured with a padlock. And lastly, she was meant to bar the door with a great crossbeam fastened in the jambs so that the horned women could never re-enter the house. As predicted, the witches did return once they realized their mountain home was not, in fact, ablaze, and they tried to call upon the elements of their own otherworldly magic. The feet water, the blood-laced cake, their woven cloth, and the felled tree that had been fashioned into a beam. But each of the four elements cried out in response that their spells had been broken by the clever woman of the house. This is how Lady Wilde ends the story. Then the witches rushed through the air with great cries and fled back to Slievenamon, uttering strange curses on the spirit of the well who had wished their ruin. But the woman and the house were left in peace, and a mantle dropped by one of the witches in her flight was kept hung by the mistress as a sign of the night's awful contest. And this mantle was in the possession of the same family from generation to generation for 500 years after. So why did the 12 women come down from the mountain? Were they invaders, or were they reclaiming what was always theirs? These questions and more take us across the landscape and deeper into other mythic women's communities and the beauty and the loss that are always woven into village life. We explore it fully in the episode that you can find for paid subscribers over at the Mythworkers Hearth. If you want to keep exploring with us, visit mythworkers.com. You'll find the link in the show notes. Thank you for tuning in to Knotwork Myth and Storytelling. Please subscribe and review the show on your favorite podcast platform, and do share this episode with other lovers of mythology and story. Want more knotwork in your life? Please consider becoming a paid subscriber to my newsletter, The Mythworkers Hearth, over on Substack. As a paid subscriber, you'll have access to the special new podcast series called Touras, which takes you even deeper into mythology, landscape, and the creative journey. And yes, that's a new name. You may know my newsletter as Myth is Medicine. It's now The Mythworkers Hearth. Creating this show is a labor of love, and your support will help me continue to craft and share stories throughout this season and beyond. You can find out more about my writing, my book, The Sovereignty Knot, A Woman's Way to Freedom, Power, Love, and Magic, our online writing communities, including the Author's Knot, as well as how to work with me as a writing coach over at my website, marisagowdy.com. Music on the show is by Beth Sweeney and Billy Hardy, a Celtic fiddle and multi-instrumental duo based on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Find out about their music and shows at billyandbeth.com. My own work is inspired and sourced through a connection to my Irish ancestors. Gratefully, I live, write, work, and record this podcast on the ancestral lands of the Lenape, whose name means original people.